In December, for a few weeks, we had been going through the Lord's Prayer. If you're in the WhatsApp group for the prayer meeting, you would know this. We had been going through line by line of the Lord's Prayer. And we have been discovering that the Lord's Prayer, it's condensed, it's very dense, but every sentence is full of meaning. And one of them, one of the sentences in the middle of the Lord's Prayer, of course, it says, "Give us this day our daily bread," right? Give us this day our daily bread. And I thought it would be nice to focus on our daily bread. In line with the Word of God, the theme of the year this year, I mentioned this last week, the theme of the year is renewed by the living word, or transformed by the living word. And so the focus is on the Word of God, the Bible. And so I thought today I'd focus on, I'll tie these two things together, our daily bread and the Word of God, and see what we can take away for ourselves for today. So we had been reflecting on the Lord's Prayer, our daily bread, and the notion of our daily bread, right? I think it conveys the sense of something that's essential for us. Of course, our daily bread, motive of bread comes from the time of Jesus. These are the words of Jesus. During the time, the main staple food would be bread. That's something that they eat on a daily basis. We have different staple in different cultures. For the Nagas, the people group that I belong to, that'd be rice, right? Rice is the thing that's essential. You can have nothing else, but if you got rice, I mean, that's sorted. I remember when I was young, I heard that people in North Europe, like Poland and all of that, I heard it said that they eat potato instead of rice. And I was like, what? Like, why would they eat potato? Like, don't they get rice? It just, you know, like, baffles me that they could have something else other than rice that is a staple. And of course, like, it's different. Like, in South America, for example, maize would be the main staple. So the notion of the daily bread carries that idea that there's something that is essential to us, something that's staple. And even if there are no dessert, even if there are no drinks, we need rice in the household, right? We need bread in the household. We can think of many other things as well, not just in terms of food, but we can think of, say, in the winter these days, an essential is power, electricity. I know some households who struggled with heating, for example. And we realize that power, electricity, energy is an essential in our day-to-day. Fire and water, for example, in some contexts would be an essential. So there are things in our lives that we know are part of the daily bread, right? The things that we need. But it also, if you push this a little further, there are things in our lives that we need on a daily basis, like things like friendship, like people who love us, right? We can think of it in terms of our family or our close friends, people we need, the assurance, the clarity to know that we have people who love us. One thing perhaps that we take for granted in the West is the freedom, the space to be, to say what we believe, to have our own beliefs, the freedom to worship, intellectual freedom, to be critical. We might think of that as an essential, as a daily bread, if you like. We live in a time of fake news. Perhaps we can think of truth as a daily bread as well, that we could not live without. We have so much lies and deceit and fabricated stuff around us that we realize truth and honesty is such a daily bread for us that we couldn't live without. We can think of beauty, we can think of kindness, of grace, you think of for ourselves, but also say for our children. We wish and pray that on a daily basis they would have grace and kindness in their lives, that people who are kind to them. And, you know, so when we pray, "Give us today our daily bread," we are not just praying for rice and bread, but we are praying for the things that we need on a daily basis that sustains us and that keeps us healthy, that keeps us whole and sound, right? And also, when we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," we are also setting our priorities right. We are reminding ourselves that there are things that matter and there are also things that don't matter. There are things that perhaps we take for granted, like family or friends or loved ones. And there are other things that are not so essential, but we waste our energy, waste our time pursuing those things anyway. And when we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," we are setting our priorities straight, that we seek to pursue the real daily bread in our lives, the things that are really meaningful for us. We could spend our life and our days chasing toxic ambition, for example. We could spend our lives chasing and desiring or envying, living in regret, looking for shortcuts in life. But when we pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," we cut through the clutter and we remind ourselves that there are things that are the real daily bread in our lives. And when we pray this, we prevent ourselves from striving for the things that are non-essential, and to remember to pray and to strive for the daily bread in our lives. So the motive of daily bread is a powerful motive, I think. It reminds us that there are things that we live on, and there are things that are worth praying for and pursuing for, and of course there are others as well. Daily bread, the things that we need, the essentials for our lives, for our health, for our soundness. And so the daily bread are things that we need in our lives. I think it's important to have this sense when we read Matthew chapter 4, which is the text that we are focusing on today. Matthew chapter 4, verse 3 to 4. This comes at the beginning of Jesus' ministry. And let me just read it. This is from the New International Version. "Then Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, 'If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread.' Jesus answered, 'It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" So think of the situation here. Jesus is in a wilderness, in a desert. He's been fasting for 40 days and 40 nights. And if anything is an essential, bread is an essential, right? Right now, he's like literally, that's probably all he's thinking about. That's all he needs, I mean, from a human point of view. And he's being offered this chance to turn the stones into bread, the thing that he needs, that literally his bread, the daily bread that he needs at this point. And the response of Jesus in verse 4 is quite stunning. Like he says, "Man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God." He's saying that as much as bread, the daily bread is important, there's actually something else that's more urgent, more essential to him than the daily bread, the bread. There's something that's more urgent and more essential for Jesus than the bread that he literally needs. If you do a bit of digging, this verse from this sentence from verse 4 actually comes from Deuteronomy chapter 8. Deuteronomy is the contains the words of Moses. You may remember Moses was the leader of the people of Israel. They were led out of Egypt through the Exodus, parting of the Red Sea. They were led into the desert for 40 years. He was the leader of the people, and Deuteronomy contains the words of Moses before he passed away. These were some of his last words to the people. And this is what he challenges to the people. Deuteronomy chapter 8, these are the words of Moses. He says, "Be careful to follow every command I'm giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised and on oath to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during those 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you." So when Jesus quotes this passage to the devil, the tempter, he was referring to this passage, to this moment in which Moses is reminding the people that you were in the desert. You were in the wilderness for 40 years and God provided for you. God took care of you. In verse 3, if you find your way there, he reminds them that God fed them with manna. Like you might know the story. The manna was the bread that fell from heaven that God provided for them in the desert. They had no food, they had no provision, and God rained down this manna, the bread, for the people to eat. Moses is reminding them, God took care of you. God provided for you. God preserved you, even in the desert. And so daily bread, as much as that is important, there's something else that's more important. There's something else that's more crucial for you, which is to receive the word that comes from the mouth of the Lord, to listen to God, to be obedient to God, to be attentive to God. So when Jesus is quoting this passage, I think what he's effectively saying is, he's saying that I could survive without food. I could survive without entertainment. Yes, these are good things. I could survive without luxury. I could survive in this wilderness with nothing, as long as God's word is with me, as long as God's leading and guidance is with me. Or in reverse, I could have everything. I could have luxury and wilderness, luxury and entertainment, food, all of that. But if I did not have the word of God, if I did not have the leading of God, I wouldn't survive. I wouldn't be able to live on that. Man, I will not be able to live on the daily bread without the word of God. So when Jesus makes a statement to the tempter, this is a statement of faith, of dependence on God, that as much as the daily bread is important, it's not the daily bread that sustains me. It is actually God who gives the daily bread. Because if in this incident, when God gave them manna, it was not that food was not important, but it was that it was God who would give the food. It was God who would take care of them, who would sustain them, who would give them even luxuries, even comfort and the frills of life, if you like. It was God who would give that. Against God's presence and God's word, compared against God's word and God's presence, the most essential things, the daily bread, even the most essential things would pale in comparison. Right? So it's a really powerful statement that Jesus is making here. And I think it confronts us to think about our own hearts as well. Could there be something that's even more crucial than the daily bread? Right? Could we survive without food? Could we survive without the things that we enjoy in life? Jesus says yes, because God will provide. It is God who preserves, and it is God who gives the joy and fulfillment. I think it confronts us with the question of what our perspective is as far as our relationship to God is concerned. Do we consider that as part of the daily bread as well? So to put it in another way, hang on, let me not introduce that too early because you're already reading. to put it another way, it is to say that the word of God is our daily bread. The word of God, or the God's guidance, God's leading, is our daily bread. For Jesus, right? And we can see this from the words of Jesus. For Jesus, his food, he says this in John chapter 4, his food is to do the will of God. His food is to do the follow the words, to obey God. This occasion, John chapter 4 is, you might know this, this is the chapter in which we read about Jesus talking to the Samaritan woman in the well in the middle of the day. And the disciples had gone to get food, and Jesus found himself talking to this woman in the well. And the disciples came back and they're like, they brought back food. And verse 31, it says, meanwhile, his disciples urged him, Rabbi, eat something. But he said to them, I have food to eat that you know nothing about. Then his disciples said to each other, could someone have brought him food? And this is the response of Jesus. My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. For Jesus, the following the word of God, knowing the word of God, and obeying the word of God, that is the daily bread. That is his food. That is what sustains him. That is what he's called to do and what he desires in his life. Again, that confronts us with the question, right? Do we regard this God's will, knowing God's will, following God's will, obeying God's word, do we consider that as part of our daily bread, our food as well? I think that's to be confronted by Jesus, it's going to be intimidating, but it does challenge us to think about our own hearts. Like, do we also have this same perspective, the same orientation in our heart to know, to desire, to obey God's will and God's word in our lives? Elsewhere, for Jesus, the bread of God, the daily bread is the word of God, to obey God and to follow his will. Elsewhere, the disciple Peter, he writes, and he spells it out for us more clearly, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 2, like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. So just as milk help the baby to grow, we may not understand why, how, all the chemistry that happens in that, but it is a fact that the babies get nourishment from the food that they eat. In the same way, we are told that the word of God is the daily bread that sustains us, that nourishes us. And so, by all means, the word of God is part of the daily bread that, in our lives. So, whether you think of rice or maize or potatoes or whatever you think of as your daily food, right? The word of God ought to be part of our daily bread. So, I think I want to leave the rest of the time for some time of reflection. What comprises our daily bread? First of all, before we go into the word of God, I think it's worth just reflecting on what we regard as our daily bread in our lives. What are some things in your life you think that you couldn't survive without? The things that you think are essentials. I think in a world of consumerism and advertisements everywhere you look, it seems to tell us that we human beings are, we are a collection of urges and desires. You need to get that next thing. You need to get the next, glittery thing in order to be happy, in order to be satisfied. It seems like there are endless things that we need satisfying in our lives. But I think this text helps us to cut through that through that clutter, through the advertisement, to ask, like, what do we really need? What would be the daily bread in our lives? What would be something that we would be willing to give up in order to get the daily bread? Don't get me wrong. I think it's a blessing that we live in abundance, that we are surrounded by extra stuff, extra things. And I think Jesus himself demonstrated this. He was known to be always going to feast, right? He was always known to be like partying. His friends, the Pharisees, would accuse him. So it's not that Jesus himself doesn't like the frills in life. But the danger here is that we could get distracted by the many things that we have, and we forget the daily bread that we really need, right? It's not so much rejection of the other things, but setting our priorities to not forget the things that really matter in our life. So as we learn to pray, give us this day our daily bread, I think it is also learning to prioritize the things that are truly daily bread for us, the things that we deep in our hearts we want to seek and we desire in our lives, the things that are essential to us, say relationships, wisdom, truth, security, stability, trust, all of these things that we know are essential for our daily lives, and we pray for them and we strive for them. So Jesus is in his response to the tempter in Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is not dismissing bread. He's not saying that, bread, you guys are so lame, you guys focus on bread. He's not saying that. He's actually saying that God will give you the bread. God will take care of you, but there's something more primary than the living bread that we prioritize in our lives. And that is that God sustains us. It is God who sustains us. It is God who preserves us. And of course, so the first question is, what comprises our daily bread? And I think this is worth thinking about in our own, in the depths of our hearts as well. What comprises the daily bread for us? The second question, of course, more specifically, does it comprise of the Word of God? Do we regard the Word of God as the daily bread that we so desire in our lives? If we want to depend on God, if you want to know God, the way to go is the Word of God is, as we mentioned, the self-revelation. It is the place where God has revealed Himself. And if we want to know God, we go to the Bible, the Scripture, where God has revealed Himself. And so to desire dependence on God, to desire the will of God, is to look at the Word of God, to look at the Bible, which contains the will of God, the message of God. To put it very simply, of course. But the point is, does that dependence on God, does that comprise of the Word of God for us as well? It is the Word of God that sustains us, that feeds us, and makes us grow. The Holy Spirit working as we read and as we meditate. But that's another sermon. The third point being daily bread. I think there's something meaningful about the word daily. It's not a yearly bread, because bread tends to get bad. And of course, this is communicated in the manna bread that God would provide for them. We read that the manna would go bad if they tried to store it for longer than one day. And of course, this reminds us that we ought to lean on God daily, on a regular basis, on a short-term basis, if you like. It's not like you download a map. We looked at this last Sunday. We download a map for our entire life, and that's the end. Like so many academics tend to download PDFs in our computer archives that we never read. It's not like you can download a map for our whole life. It's a daily kind of reliance on God, just like the daily food that we eat. Of course, the daily food itself is actually quite illuminating as well. Like, I may not remember what I ate last Monday, but I know that it sustained me. I know that it helped me to grow. In the same way, many times when we think about the Word of God, the Bible, we think about sermons even, there's something that happens when we engage with the Word of God that brings life, that brings nourishment to us, the work of the Holy Spirit. And we may not remember it, it may not be mind-blowing every time, but there's something of daily sustenance that happens when we build a foundation on the Word of God, because it's the Holy Spirit working on us. So it's a daily thing. It implies regularly depending on God, just like the daily bread. And thirdly, Jesus says in John 4 to his disciples, "My food is to do the will of God, will of the Father." I think it's very insightful that he says, "My food is to do the will of God." He doesn't just say, "My food is to read the Bible." He doesn't say, "My food is to know the Bible." He says, "My food is to do the will of the Father." And I think that's something for us as well. How do we think of the Word of God? Is it just something we consume, that we take in? Or is it something that we are striving to put into practice in obedience in our lives? So all of that to say, we ought to think of our daily bread with in terms of all the things that we know that are essential for us, but also the Word of God, dependence on God as our daily bread. We need God's guidance and God's leading, and part of that is reliance on the Bible in order for our lives, in order that we are sustained on a daily basis with the daily bread. So I just want to go back to the acronym that I introduced last week, some ways that we can make God's Word as part of our daily bread. Acronym around LAMP. Listen to God in His Word. Not just listen to the Bible, but listen to God. Listen to the person. Look for the person who God has revealed Himself in His Word. Attend to the Holy Spirit in prayer, reminding ourselves that transformation is the work of the Holy Spirit. We are not changing ourselves, But when we read the Bible and when we pray and ask the Holy Spirit to do His work, that's when the work of the Holy Spirit happens. We also remind ourselves that we are called to meditate, to dwell on the Word of God. And finally, of course, to practice obedience. And I think if you think of all of this, they are not merely just activities we sit down and that involves just us sitting down and reading the Bible. These are activities, if you think of the meditate, last Sunday I was mentioning, find time to talk with friends, like to talk with your family or friends or peers or in fellowship. Find ways to meditate together, not just us in isolation speculating, but to meditate together in a group with friends, or to practice, put it into practice in your workplaces, in your schools, wherever you are. Prayer, of course, is something that can be done anywhere. So when we think about engaging the Word of God, it's not just us sitting down and reading the Scripture here, although that is obviously the first part of that, but it takes us out into the world where we are meditating, engaging, and obeying the Word of God. So I just want to leave that there, and I guess leave the simple question, what is the living bread for you and I today? Does it comprise of the Word of God? And the challenge of Jesus, example of Jesus tells us that for Him, that is the most crucial, because God, He remembers that God is the one who sustains us. God is the one who provides for us. So let's leave it there, and maybe we can have some time of silence, and as we take some time to think about that and pray in our hearts. And yeah, we can even pray that God will help us to have the right perspective, the right orientation in our hearts. Shall we take some time to be silent in prayer? Father, we thank You that You give Your Word to us, You speak to us, and You have spoken to us. And You have spoken to us in Your Scripture, but also through Your Son and through the work of the Holy Spirit today in our hearts. And we pray, O Lord, not only in our hearts, but through one another. And we pray, O Lord, that You'll help us to be attentive to that, be attentive to Your leading, and to remember, Lord, that that is what sustains us in life, that You are the one who sustains us, that we might find ways in our daily walk to listen to You, to be reminded of that priority, our daily bread. So Lord, as You taught us to pray, may You give us our daily bread, and may we learn to lean on You every day of our lives. And we pray the same for our children, our loved ones, our friends, our family, and all the people that You have given to us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.